Thus far, we have examined monsters primarily as genetic abnormalities, undiscovered creatures, or spirits. However, we should not forget that our folklore also contains a class of monsters that developed as part of the machinations of someone who was seeking revenge. While the werewolf legend explored in episode 14 is somewhat analogous to this type of monster, zombies, witches, and mummies, and the curses that cause their existence certainly deserve to be explored as a distinct class of monsters. Although we tend to scoff at tales of curses and maledictions, we have not yet begun to understand the strange powers of the mind that might indeed set in motion forces strong enough to manipulate the ghostly machinery of a full-fledged phantom. The great British seer John Pendragon told me of a strange but true tale in which the evil that a man did lived on after him. This is a weird story from the distant days of the First World War, a war that was far more productive of ghostly manifestations than World War II. The place where the Phantom Hun was seen well behind the British lines between Laventie and Hoop lines to the northeast of Bethune. The year of the phenomena was 1916, but the actual site, a farmhouse, was completely wiped out when the Germans made their last bid for victory 2 years later. The tale was made public in the 1930s when Mr. Edwin T. Woodall, late of Scotland Yard and the Secret Service, wrote his reminiscence. It was the practice during 1916 to earmark numerous isolated sites for reserve dumps of explosives that could be drawn upon in an emergency. Such dumps were usually in abandoned villages or farmhouses, well away from the range of enemy guns, and were guarded by one or two soldiers, the guards being changed weekly. From the guards' point of view, such jobs were cushy, though the loneliness of a deserted ruin could often be rather irksome. One such dump was located between Laventie and Hoop lines, and the explosives were hidden in the basement of a ruined farmhouse close to a derelict village. The guards were given rations for a week, plenty of fuel, cooking utensils, books and magazines, and perhaps a dartboard. The men used to say that it wasn't so bad during the day, but nights were apt to be eerie. From far away, there came a rumble of the guns and the frequent ascent of fairy lights. Occasionally, an airplane droned over. Although they were in the midst of a war, it seemed strangely remote to those in the ruined farmhouse near Laventie. Then, gradually, stories began to circulate about the site. It seemed, according to reports, that at the time of the full moon, strange sounds were heard, as if the guards were not the only inhabitants of the shambles of the farmhouse. Unaccountable footsteps were heard on the cobbled road that ran past the dump, and one man reported that when the moon was full, he had seen a figure some 25 yards from where he stood. He challenged the figure and, receiving no reply, fired his rifle. But to his amazement, the figure vanished. Since it was suspected that an enemy agent was at work, the intelligence service was informed, and an officer, Mr. Edwin T. Woodall, on the first occasion, was sent with a French policeman to augment the guard. The gendarme was chosen in case the arrest of a civilian was necessary. The first night passed uneventfully enough. The men had a good fire, plenty of candles, food, and a couple of packs of cards, and after they had amused themselves for a while, they arranged to take turns to keep watch. It was on the second night's vigil that the first strange manifestation occurred. Mr. Woodall was taking the first 2 hours' watch while the gendarme and the soldier slept. The latter soon settled themselves and fell asleep. But a little over an hour later, they found Mr. Woodall shaking them awake and telling them to listen. The awakened men listened as they silently reached for their weapons. Above the cellar hideout, there came the unmistakable sound of iron-shod boots on the road that ran a few yards away. So heavy and so definite were the footfalls that the vibration caused one or two pieces of plaster and earth to drop from the ceiling of the cellar. With Mr. Woodhull leading, the three men crept to the top of the steps and into the moonlight. Instantly, they saw a figure move from its place near a wall and vanish into the deep shadow cast by the buildings. For an hour or more, they searched the area but found nobody, not even a stray animal disturbed by the uncanny silence that had fallen upon the moonlit ruins. When daylight came, a more thorough search was made, but again, there was no indication of any unauthorized person being on the site or in the village beyond. The following night brought spectacular events. Again, the watch was kept, but the man who was resting did not slumber. They were too expectant and tense. At 2:55 a.m., a little later than on the previous night, there came once again that uncharacteristic sound. Silently, the three men crept to the top of the steps and, remaining in the shadows, gazed to the right toward a moonlit wall. A few yards from where they stood, their weapons ready, a German soldier knelt by the wall, turning over the fallen bricks that had been scattered at that point. Spellbound, they watched him. There was no doubt in their minds that he was as earthly as themselves. His spiked helmet gleamed in the moonlight. There was, nevertheless, something rather odd about the appearance of his uniform. It was heavily smeared with clay, as if it had been buried. For more than a minute, they gazed at the figure as it turned over the bricks. Then they challenged it. It responded by half rising and turning to look at them. Then it was that all three spectators realized that before them was not flesh and blood, but a skeleton. From beneath that spiked helmet, a skull nodded, while the bony hands dropped the bricks they held. Three firearms rang out, and instantly the phantom vanished. The men kept watch until dawn, but the spectral Hun did not reappear. It must be said that the intelligence staff investigated the case very thoroughly, but not before the explosives were removed from the dump, this being done on the day following the report being made. Acting in collaboration with French authorities, the British pieced together the history of the village as it was at the declaration of war in August 1914. Although many of the inhabitants were dead, a number were traced and questioned, and from their various reports, the following strange story evolved. In the late summer of 1914, the vast German army under the command of General von Kluck swept toward Paris and the Channel ports. German infantry reached the village and overran the place, taking whatever they required but not harming the inhabitants unless they resisted. The farmhouse was occupied by a sergeant major and about 20 or more men. The farmer had gone, leaving his wife and an infant, together with several villagers who decided to remain. The cellar, which had later been occupied by the British guards, was then used as a wine store. The wine was promptly taken by the soldiers, who settled down to a night's revel, the sergeant major in particular pestering the farmer's young wife with his intentions. The situation became so threatening that she left the house and sought the advice and protection of an aged priest who had remained behind with his people. He said that he would remain with her until the Germans left, their departure being expected on the following day. Shortly afterward, the Allies began to shell the village, forcing the Germans to flee. All was confusion, the shouts of the men, the neighing of the horses, and the crash of the exploding shells made the place hell. The sergeant major, according to the report of witnesses testifying later, was angry that the young mother had sought the old priest and he denounced her as a spy. Drunkenly, he shot first the child, then the mother, and finally the old priest. The woman and the child died instantly, but the cleric lingered for a few minutes, and pointing at the German, he said,
"Evil man, your spirit will live on, and you will return when your hour comes to haunt this place until God sees fit to absolve your soul."
Then, in the presence of witnesses, the priest died. Running unsteadily to join his company, the sergeant major was caught by a splinter from an exploding shell and died on the cobbled road. The Germans departed, and a few French peasants buried the woman, the child, and the priest in one grave, and the soldier in another. All the graves were close to the wall at the spot where the phantom was seen. Apparently, the old priest's curse worked only too well. The skeleton seen by the British troops was the sergeant major come back at his appointed hour.